Good morning. Take your Bible and turn to Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to start there. I did a first today that I've never done before. I actually gave notes to what I was going to preach about. So you'll find them in your bulletin, and you can follow along with those notes. And I am not really accustomed to just how to put them out, so I just gave the main outline of each of the points I'm going to be looking at, and I left you a little space for any type of note you might want to put in there, so open that up and follow along. I think it's something that you will want to keep and look at throughout the week and think about. I've entitled the message this morning, Give Thanks for In and For All Things. So let's pray. Precious Heavenly Father, as I come before Thee this morning, I look to You, Lord. I thank You for Your grace and Your goodness to us. I thank You, Father, for this beautiful day You've given to us to live in Your world. I thank You, Father, for the Lord Jesus Christ who has come and died and rose again, Lord, for our salvation. I thank You, Father, for Your Spirit that has drawn us to Jesus for salvation. Father, just thank You for being involved in our lives in every day and every way. So, Father, as we come to You this morning, we ask that Your Holy Spirit take Your word and apply it to each of our hearts today. Lord, we know that it isn't what I have to say in and of myself that it's going to make any difference in anybody's life, but it's what You have to say from Your word that will touch our lives and change our lives. And therefore, Father, I ask that Your Spirit take Your word and speak to our hearts. In the name of Jesus, amen. My wife looked up on the internet a few months ago and found this little humorous story that kind of goes along with my message this morning, Give Thanks. So I'd like to read it to you as we start this message this morning. It's called Once Upon a Time, a Little Old Lady. There was a little old lady who every morning stepped onto her front porch, raised her arms to the sky and shouted, Praise the Lord. One day, an atheist moved into the house next door. He became irritated at the little old lady. Every morning, he stepped onto his front porch after she yelled, Praise the Lord, and said, There is no God. There is no Lord. Time passed, and the two of them carried on this way day after day. One morning, in the middle of the winter, the little old lady stepped on her front porch and shouted, Praise the Lord. Please, Lord, I have no food and I'm starving. Provide me with food. The next morning, she stepped onto the porch and there was two huge bags of food, of groceries on the front porch. She shouted, Praise the Lord. God, thank You for providing me with these groceries. The atheist jumped out of the bushes and shouted, There is no Lord, I bought those groceries for You. The little old lady threw her arms up in the air and says, Praise the Lord. God, You have provided me with groceries and You made the devil pay for them. You know, we can always look at things two different ways, can't we? And so therefore this morning I'd like to look at this theme that I have, Give Thanks for All Things. I want to challenge you this morning to praise God and to worship God through thanksgiving. You know, one thing I've found in my Christian experience of 30-some years, almost 40 years, is that Christians, after they first get saved, there's a time of glowing and blooming and shining, and then after a while, things kind of calm down, and they aren't as excited, so you find that they stop thanking God and praising God. I mean, after a while, they kind of just walk around in a cloud. God is worthy of our praise. Amen? Amen? Amen. That's right. God is worthy of our praise. God is worthy of our worship. And it isn't something we just do on Sunday morning from 11 to 12 or 8 to 9:30. But every day we're to worship and to praise God. And what's one of the good ways, what's one of the best ways that we can do it? We can buy thanking Him for everything that comes into our lives. Why is praise and thanksgiving so important? It's important for this one particular reason. It changes our focus. You know, when we're in the midst of all kinds of problems and troubles and heaviness and trials and all kinds of things that happen in our life, who do we focus on? You can answer back. We focus on ourselves, don't we? Yeah, I mean, the focus becomes me. Hey, I've got this problem. How am I going to take care of this problem? And the bigger the problem, the more we focus on ourselves. And the more we focus on ourselves, we forget about God. But if we start praising God, start thanking God in everything, your focus changes from the problem to the one who can solve the problem. And that's what we need to do. We need to change our focus. You know, when Jesus is the focus of your life, life perspectives change dramatically. In fact, the whole concept of life. Whenever problems come into your life and hardships and adversity and trials come into your life, you no longer go, "Woe is me." You look at those adversities, you look at those problems, and you sit down and you say, "Hey, this is a great opportunity for Jesus to work in my life." That's if you're looking to him. If you're not looking to him, then you just sit down and say, "How am I going to get through this?" Praise changes our focus. Life becomes a wonderful experience when we realize God is involved in my life. Often there are troubles and things that come into our life that cause us not to want to praise God. I understand that. I'm acquainted with many different difficulties in life. Maybe illness has come into your life. You know, before I went into ministry, I was as healthy as a horse. I could shoot a deer down the bottom of a canyon, throw that thing over my shoulders, and walk right to the top of a mountain. I could hunt all day in rain, snow, cold, didn't make any difference. I could break horses. I could do anything I wanted to do. I went into ministry. I went to Bible school, went into ministry. I was in a ministry for no more than 3 years. And actually, 1 year when I had my first surgery. Major surgery, changed my whole life. 2 years after that, I had my first heart attack. And it just had been going on like that for 35 years. I know what it's like to lay in a hospital bed and look at the ceiling. But my friends, when you realize God is in control of your life and the things that come into your life is for your good, all of a sudden things change perspective. God is working in my life. Illness, death, loss of employment. Over at South Bend, I've been preaching over at South Bend for the last 3 months, and I really enjoyed it. I thank Pastor Bill for sending me over there. They're a great bunch of people. I love them dearly. But we have one guy there that I have become well acquainted with, and we've gone fishing together, and we talk a lot together. But he's been out of work for a year. Finances are starting to run out. You know, that can he's starting to think, what am I going to do? All these things can cause a problem to it. My friend, I have learned in my life as a Christian since 1970 that it wasn't in the easy times that I came to know my Lord the best. It wasn't when I had jingle jangle in my pocket. It isn't when everything was going great that I really drew close to the Lord. When everything was going good, I kind of wandered a little bit away from the Lord. But it was during the hard times that I came to know him best. It was during the hard times in my life that I heard the Lord's voice say, "Fear not, Doyle, I'm with you." It's during the hard times that I drew closer to the Lord Jesus than I've ever been drawn in my entire life. It's during the hard times, not the easy times. So don't complain and moan about the hard times. The hard times is really a good time for you if you look at it from God's perspective. The Lord has promised never to leave us nor forsake us and to supply all of our needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. We find that in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, and Philippians chapter 4, verse 18. Therefore, give thanks. Praise God. Why? God is at work in your life. And my friends, that is the theme I want to press on you this morning. God is at work in your life. If you don't believe that, then you really are off base. You're not even in the ballpark. Brothers and sisters, God is working in your life. And he's working in your life in many different ways. And it's up to you and me to stop and thank him for working in his life. And I'm going to show you some ways, at least four ways, that God is working in your life out of this message this morning. But first, I want you to see the commands. You know, giving thanks isn't something that we just do, because God, giving thanks is to be a major part of your life in every area of your life. And I got three passages of Scripture that supports that view. One is found in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. Giving thanks always, what's the next one? For all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God tells us to give thanks for all things. What? I can hear somebody. I can't hear your voice, but I know people. I can hear some of you right now say, "Preacher, you're a dingy. Give thanks for all things." Yeah, that's what God said. And I'm going to show you why in a bit. But I can tell you right now, some of you are saying, "Why?" Just first off, God told you to. That ought to be enough. But God has told us, give thanks for all things. The second one we find in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. Not only are... In everything give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Not only are we to give thanks for all things, but while you're, what's that word? In all things. Not just for them, but while you're going through them. Give thanks. Praise God. One reason God tells us to give thanks in all things, it changes our focus from, I've already said this, but it changes our focus from the problem to the one who can solve our problem. But friends, there's often times in our life, I can't solve my problem. I don't know what the answer is. I don't know what all the alternatives are around me. But I know someone who does know them, Jesus. Therefore, while you're in them, give thanks to God. I think sometimes God allows difficult situations to come into my life to test me. How? To see if I really trust him. Or to see if my faith is just a pretense. Brothers and sisters, I've met in my 36 years of ministry, I have found that there's lots and lots of Christians, and I have pastored churches in Montana, Oregon, Washington, but I found a lot of believers who have a great profession of faith. Oh, yes, Pastor, I believe with all my heart. I'm a Christian. I live for God. Oh, yes. They have a great profession. But let the hammer drop. Let it drop hard. I don't mean a little cold. I mean let it drop hard. And what's the first thing that comes out of their mouth? It can be answered with one word. Thank you, lady. Why did you do that to me? Why? Haven't I gone to church four times a week? Haven't I given a tenth, a fifth? 15th, 20th of my salary? Don't I serve as a Sunday school teacher? I have not done all these things. Why are you doing this to me, God? You see, profession is meaningless if it isn't backed up with possession. I can profess anything. I can tell you I'm a brain surgeon. Now, how many of you want me to operate on your brain? None of you. But if I had a track record of having 100 successful brain surgeries, you would be quick to say, "Hey, Pastor Pickens, I'd like to have you be my doctor." Profession has to be backed up with possession. If you're a believer, brother and sister, live it. If you're not, keep your mouth shut. You know, that I am sick and tired of hearing a guy on the street say, you know, you're a hypocrite. All I meet is hypocrites. They claim they're Christians, but when the rough times come, they act no different than I do. My friends, we ought to be entirely different to the world around us. To give thanks, not only for all things, but in all things. And the third one is this. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father. Not only are we to give thanks in all things and for all things, but while you're doing all things. Ladies, while you're cleaning house, that's really hard. You know, my wife says, you know, I clean the house and you come in and dirty it up. Yeah, I do. You know, I fix a big meal and all I have is a bunch of dishes afterwards. But you know, my friends, give thanks. How would you like to not have a house? How would you like to be living in a tent? How would you like to be one of those street people up in Seattle living underneath the bridge? How would you like to have to go to a soup kitchen or go to a dumpster? I know a young man a number of years ago, he moved into Portland, and he told me, he says, for the longest time, he says, the way I fed myself is I looked in dumpsters around restaurants and dug food out to eat. How would you like to do that? I wouldn't. But he did. Now he has a very successful job. He's moving on. He's doing great. But boy, for a while, he ate garbage out of a garbage can. Next time you sit down to a big meal or a little meal, thank God, that could be taken away from you. But while you're doing all things, in all things, give thanks. I have four reasons why we should give thanks, and I just want to share them with you right now. The first one is, first reason for giving thanks, we find in Romans chapter 8, 28 and 29, why should I give thanks? God is conforming you to the image of his Son. Romans chapter 28 and 29 says this. We know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are called according to his purpose, to them for whom he did foreknow, he also predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son, that we might be the firstborn among many brothers. If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're one of the called. When God saves a person, he starts to work in their life. And one of the things he starts to work in life is to conform us to the image of his Son. And when you say conform, that doesn't mean to make you look like Jesus, but to live and to act like Jesus lived and acted. How did Jesus live and how did Jesus act? One thing, Jesus was submissive to the will of his Father. You got to think, you know, here Jesus is sitting in heaven. You want to know what it looked like for Jesus to sit in heaven? Go to Isaiah chapter 6 and you see where you see God sitting, Isaiah saw God sitting upon the throne and angels coming in and out and smoke filling the temple and the temple walls moving. And we say, that was the Lord, yeah. If you go to John chapter 12, you find that John says that was Jesus sitting on that throne. Jesus, sitting on the throne of heaven, said, all right, Father, I will go. I will suffer, and I will die. Not my will, but your will be done. My friends, are you submissive to the will of God? Are you obedient to God's word? Jesus was always, God said, Jesus said, I always do what my Father said. Are you obedient to his word? Excuse me. Are you humble? Yeah, that's something that most of us don't like to know. Are you really humble? You know, I mean, a lot of Christians today, pride's still pretty heavy in their life? Are you humble? Do you love people? You know, God says, what's the first and greatest commandment of all the commandments? Ah, the 613 commandments that God gave. What's the first and greatest? Well, that was a low mumble. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one Lord. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy mind, all thy soul, all thy strength. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Paul says over in Romans 14, if you love one another, you've fulfilled all 613 commandments. Do you love people? Do you love people? When I went to Bible school, Dr. Mitchell was had spiritual life class. And for the first semester in Bible school, and Dr. Mitchell used to say to us young would-be preachers, he had an hour class 5 days a week, and the one thing he drove into our hearts was this. He'd say, do you love Jesus? Do you love Jesus? Do you love Jesus? Do you love? And he'd get right in our face and say, do you love Jesus? Do you love? I'll tell you, after about 3 months, I was sick of him saying that. I wanted to stand up and say, yes, I love Jesus. But I didn't love Jesus like he meant for me to. It took a few years for me to get to really understand what Dr. Mitchell meant by, do you love Jesus? Do you love people? Those are the images that God wants to form you into. Now, why does God want to do that? This is a little illustration I'd like to give. You know, if I had a 3-carat diamond in the rough, just like they dug it out of the ground, and I took it out here and I dropped it in the parking lot. Now, I'm not a gambler, but let me just say, I would lay odds that 99.99% of us, maybe all of us, would step right over it as we went out to our car. Right? Well, maybe not. But I don't think I've ever seen a diamond in the rough. But let's say there's a master jeweler in the congregation. And he walks out through the park and he looks down and he says, oh, that's a diamond! He reaches down, he picks that diamond up. And he takes it to his shop, and he cuts it. And he fastens it in. And he polishes it. And he shines it. And he sets it in a beautiful gold ring. And he comes back, and he sets it down in the same place in the parking lot he found it. Now, I would now lay you odds that probably none of us would step over that 3-carat diamond, beautifully formed diamond ring, and walk right by. We'd pick it up and say, look what I found. Look what I have. My friends, draw that analogy to Jesus Christ. God is trying to develop in your life a Christ-likeness. When you were saved, you were a rough, old, ugly diamond. That's all you were. When God saved Doyle Pickens, I was a rock. An old, ugly rock. But over the years, he has cut, and he has faceted, and he has polished, and he has set me in a diamond ring, and he has set me out. And now people look at me, and they can say, yeah, I see something there. My friends, God wants the world to see Jesus in you. God, when you walk down the street, when you do business with people, when you're working on the job, who do you reflect? Do you reflect yourself? Or do you reflect the Lord Jesus Christ? One of the reasons we are to give thanks is because God is working in your life to conform you to the image of Jesus Christ so that as the world sees you, they see his son and they want him. And they will come to him. So oftentimes the reason so many people in the world don't want anything to do with the church is because all they see in the church is fighting, squabbling, griping, moaning. and they don't see love, compassion, people hurting for one another, people caring for one another. God wants to develop Christ-likeness in a person. Therefore, he uses the things and events that come into our life to form in us a Christ-likeness. This is why God says, give thanks for all things. Give thanks for all things. The good that God is bringing into our lives is a Christ-likeness that will result in blessings now and forever. Give thanks. Give thanks. The next one, God is working through trials that produce patience, hope, and love. Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. We glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Patience worketh hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. I said in my opening remarks that we come to know God best in the hard times. Let me tell you, how many of you have gloried in your tribulation? You know, I, as a pastor for over three decades, I've had an awful lot of praise and prayer meetings and praise and thanksgiving. A lot of times on Sunday night, instead of singing, we would have people give praise and thanksgiving. You know, in my 36 years in ministry, I never, ever heard anyone say, thank God for my heart attack. Thank God for being broken without a job. Thank God for giving me that old neighbor that says, there is no God. I never met one that said that. It's always, thank you, Lord, for giving me another $100 this last week. Yeah, thank you for that. Thank God for giving me a good vacation. Thank you for that. And we should thank him for those. But Paul says, we glory in our tribulation. Why should I glory in my tribulation? Because it worketh patience. Patience means to bear up underneath the load. And patience experience. As I see God deliver me, enable me to bear me, I have patience. And patience, hope. God will help me again. Excuse me. And hope is not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad. I see the love of God being shed abroad in my heart. Friends, how will we ever know if God can deliver you, God can protect you, God can provide for you, unless you're placed in a place of needing them? How many of us in this sanctuary this morning have been down to your last penny, and you've been there for a number of days? My friends, I have been, and I have seen God provide over and over and over and over. And I have come to the place in my Christian experience of knowing no matter what God leads me into, he will provide. I don't know how, and I don't tell him how. It's just that he does in wonderful ways. You know, I like to think of old Job. You know, Job is one of my favorite characters of the Old Testament. Here was a guy, he was the Bill Gates of his day. Wealthy beyond imagine. Satan came down to God and said, you know, the only reason old Job walks with you, God, is because you bless him all the time. You know that? And if you take those blessings away from him, he'll stand up and curse you. And God says, well, touch him. In one day, he lost all of his wealth. Boom. He was a pauper, just like that. And then God allowed Satan to touch his family, and boom, his whole family gone, 10 kids. Boom, just like that. And then God allowed him to touch his body, and he was covered with sores and boils. And he's sitting in a garbage heap, scraping the boil scabs off his body. Now, that's not a very pleasant thing to have to do, is it? Probably hurt like crazy. His wife walks up to him and says, curse God and die. No, Job looks at her and says, don't talk like one of the foolish people. Should we not accept the good things, the bad things, along with the good things? But then Job said something that has always touched my heart. Yea, if the Lord should slay me, yet will I trust him. Brothers and sisters, can you say that? If God should slay me, I will still have my hand raised up saying, praise the Lord. See, Job understood. He gave thanks. The third one is, I got to hurry on. I told him my time's running out. God builds our faith and prepares us for glory through trials. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 through 7 says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein we greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold trials, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, that it may be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearance of Jesus Christ. God allows trials into your faith to produce stronger faith. You know, I know faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God, Romans 10:17. I know that. But you know, you start out with a little seed. But to have big faith, it's going to require that you go through some hard times. And as God runs you through the hard times, your faith is built. You come to know God in a very precious and a very real and a very positive way. And your faith grows and it grows and it grows. And we need to sit down and say, there's a reason for this happening. I thank God. When God says, give thanks for all things and in all things, we need to understand that God is using good and difficult things for our good, even if we don't understand it. That's the biggest problem. You know, if I don't understand something, why? But my friends, God has infinite wisdom. And he may allow things in your life that you say, this is horrible, this is dumb. But God says, no, this is good. Now, who am I going to listen to? Me or God? If I'm listening to God, I'm going to say, thank you, Lord, for the hard times. Thank you, Lord, for the good times. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings. Thank you, God, for being involved in my life today in every way. That's when life changes. The last one, the fourth one, is this. God uses troubles in our life to help us help other people in their trials. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. The Father of mercy and all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherein we ourselves are comforted of God. God uses the things that come into our life to help other people. You know, Pastor Bill, as good a man as he is, cannot meet everybody's need at Mountain View. It's impossible. I don't know how many people attend Mountain View, how many, but it's impossible. I mean, as a pastor, I never pastored a church this size. But anyway, the larger the church I pastored, it was more difficult. And I used to try to meet everybody's need. And man, there was times I'd just wear out. I'd be so worn out. There was one time I went and I laid down on the Davenport and I slept for 3 days. I just couldn't do it. But my friends, God has worked in your life. God has helped you in situations in your life. God has lifted you up and blessed you in your life. Now, when you see a brother or a sister that's having a problem like you know about, you can come alongside of them and say, you know, I had that same kind of problem. And here's how God helped me. And let me just share with you how God helped me and see if God would help you in the same way. My friends, it isn't up to Pastor Bill. It isn't up to your elders and your deacons. It's up to all of us to minister to one another. We have to be involved with one another. Each of us have seen God meet our needs in different ways and in different times. God has allowed those things in our lives to minister to us. Thank God for the school of hard knocks. For as you see God help you, you can help others. Tell them how God has helped you. Give God thanks in all things and for all things. While you are doing all things, focus on the Lord. He is at work in your life. That's what we want to give thanks for. God is at work in your life. And God will complete in your life what he's working to do. All we need to do is yield. You know, sometimes we have to go through the same old trial 42 times before we learn. That's one of my problems, is I don't learn fast. God had to take me to the woodshed more than once for the same thing. But one after a while, I finally say, oh, that's what you want, Lord. Okay, time to do it. Let me close with this thought. God doesn't create our problems. We create most of our problems ourselves. I want you to say that. God doesn't create your problems. We create most of our own problems. But God uses the events that come into your life for his purpose and his glory and your good. Therefore, give thanks. God is at work in your life. Let's pray. Precious Heavenly Father, as we come before thee this morning, Lord, I just pray for each one of us here today. Lord, how we struggle with giving thanks when things aren't going quite so good. I pray for each one of us here, Father. There's a man, woman, boy, girl here today that's going through some special difficulties. Lord, I just pray that you would just, your spirit would just draw them to focus upon the Lord Jesus Christ and turn to him, and we'd be quick to give the praise and the glory for it. In the name of Jesus, amen.